It's Sunday morning, time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you so much for being with me this morning. I hope that you enjoy the show. I'm going to cover a bit of the waterfront, both about events this week and also some incredible, absolutely stunning news with the removal of the Klamath Dam and what happened. You'll have to just wait a moment for that. But first, I want to say my show last week that I had Britt Hume on the air. I've been doing this, as most of you know now, for 25 years in January. I received as many comments on that show as any I can recall. Thank Britt, obviously, for taking the time to do it. But thank you also to all of you listening for sending me your comments and thoughts. And so I'm going to pick up kind of where we left off last week. We left off last week with Britt saying, I don't make predictions. Well, now we know some results, and here's what it means for conservation. And I'm going to distinguish here between the difference between conservation and environmentalism. And I think this is really important. As you know, over time, I've tried to say we used to all be part of the environmental movement. And then the environmental movement basically was hijacked from us by really extreme views led by Greenpeace, Earth Justice, Defenders of Wildlife, and Humane Society, and others who didn't speak for us when it came to our views on conservation. And they basically own the environmental platform, and we sit in the conservation platform. This election is a huge, absolutely enormous win for conservation. And it's a big-time loss for radical environmentalism. And I think that is an absolutely wonderful outcome. And I know all of you in the agricultural community who listen to WGN regularly across the Midwest are probably smiling from ear to ear, knowing that we're going to have people in positions who understand much better the lives that we lead than those we have most recently. And if you're in the conservation field, if you like to hunt or fish, or frankly, enjoy the outdoors that hunting and fishing provides because of the revenue it provides, this was a huge win. We are going to have a Secretary of the Interior who actually hunts and fishes, someone who understands what we live for, how we enjoy the outdoors. It has been a bit of a rough ride with an Interior Department filled with individuals who do not hunt and fish. They say they support hunting and fishing, but there's a difference. There's a difference between taking your family fishing and knowing those things and what it means to you and your family and all the joys and memories it's brought you and the time in the outdoors and solitude, and saying, oh, I support fishing, although I've never done it, or I support hunting, although I've never done it. We're going to have a Secretary of Interior that hunts and fishes. We're going to have a director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service who hunts and fishes. It's going to be part of their culture. And on down the stream of appointments that an administration makes, we are going to see individuals who actively participate in the activities for which they are now charged with overseeing. This is going to be true of the Department of Agriculture. You're going to see an agriculture, an administration, I believe, that is much, much better at working at conservation and agriculture together. Certainly at the Bureau of Land Management, we are going to have an end to what has been a 4-year onslaught against, frankly, you can't say anything else, against landowners in the American West. We don't have much, in fact, we have no Bureau of Land Management lands in the state of Illinois. But as you know, the American West, west of the Mississippi, is filled with it. And the further west you go, the more there are. I think we'll finally get some sanity on the sage-grouse issue and how sage-grouse are being managed and how they've reached the very, very low thresholds of populations they have. And these decisions will be based much more on science than they will be on emotional policies. I'm not saying this is a Democratic issue or a Republican issue. It is not. It is not partisan. Conservation is not a partisan issue. But what has become an issue is that people are being appointed both the high-level management and mid-level management positions who have no experience for the position for which they are being appointed. Whether they're Republican or Democrat doesn't matter. But what I think we're going to see, and I base these conversations this morning on information that I've been given since Wednesday with individuals who are going to be actively involved in filling top-level and mid-level positions, that we're going to see a return to what I would call a much more fundamental approach. It was always assumed, if you were the director of the Fish and Wildlife Service, it was just assumed that you had grown up and lived and knew the science of wildlife and fisheries management and had experience in the field. Well, that assumption went out the door or the window a long time ago, as we've had a series of directors through various administrations who had no such experience. We're going to have that again. So I think it's good for the future of conservation, and I don't think that the radical environmental movement is going to have a seat at the table in this administration. In fact, I could say very confidently they're not going to have a seat at the table, whereas in many cases in the past administration, they had a seat at the head of the table. So conservation groups, I know from my lifelong work in them, and more recently, frankly, are thrilled. Politically, conservation groups, 501c3s, cannot take public positions. They're not allowed to lobby. They're not allowed to back a candidate. But they are allowed to encourage science and science-based action and people who have the proper backgrounds to take positions. And you better believe that every major conservation group, from Ducks Unlimited to the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation to Audubon, across the board, all of the groups that represent people whose memberships are hunting and fishing based, Trout Unlimited, Wild Salmon Center, and I could go on and on and on, Rough Grouse Society and others, Wild Turkey Federation, they are behind the scenes working to ensure that qualified individuals are able to take positions in this administration, which I think will be great for conservation. And I have to go to Illinois for a moment, because we certainly know that in Illinois, while we didn't have a change in administrations, we certainly know the challenges the Department of Natural Resources is having in attracting individuals due to the fact that the leadership of the IDNR, not all the time, but through many times, has not been one that has been in sync with the interest of its constituent base in the state of Illinois, which are largely people who hunt and fish. Yes, there are many other people who benefit from the IDNR, but at the end of the day, it's the conservationists in Illinois that drive the policy. And hopefully the IDNR will be able to also continue to move forward in a direction under the leadership of Director Feeney of bringing in qualified individuals who share the same values as the constituents with which they serve. When I come back from the break, I'm going to talk about the removal of this dam on the Klamath River and what it has meant, and some other brief subjects that have come up this week, which I hope you'll find of interest. Thank you so much for listening to The Great Outdoors. This is Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go, worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and I'm going to move away from the immediate impacts of the election. And as I said, it's not partisan. I'll never be partisan on this show. I try to base what I just stated based upon the best facts available and or the best information available, and I feel very confident about what I just said. Let me now switch to something absolutely remarkable. I talked on the air, and you may have read, not on the front page of newspapers, of course there aren't pages anymore, so let me rephrase that. You may have read somewhere on the internet from a newspaper about the removal of the Klamath River dams in Oregon. Nobody knew what was going to happen. I'm going to read to you now a very short note that I received from a friend who went to the site where the dam was removed. You're not going to believe this, so bear with me a second. The note starts off, "Lenore and I yesterday took a therapeutic drive to the old Topsy Reservoir. As one of our local elders said, the salmon have come home. Remarkably, salmon only 3 months past dam removal are now 200 miles upriver from where they ever could go before, past four old dam sites, and these salmon are spawning. Yesterday, we observed the male Chinook splashing and competing to fertilize the newly deposited eggs. A beautiful sight. The last time this happened was over 100 years ago. It's also tremendous that Native Americans are, after 100 years, getting not only their fishery back, but also land that was flooded by dam construction." This is a story that nobody knew was going to happen. And I was talking with Guido Rahr, a great friend, and the driving force behind the Wild Salmon Center, about this just the other day. And Guido said, when we advocated for the removal of the Klamath River dams, who were serving no hydroelectric purpose and no agricultural purpose anymore, they were obsolete, we didn't know what would happen. We had no idea that literally within days, the fish would begin to move up beyond these barriers that they had had, and that now Chinook salmon are going all the way up to the headwaters of the Klamath River, where they have not been able to go for over 100 years. And they are going back to the areas to spawn that have been dead for over 100 years. This is a story that is beyond anyone's hope and, frankly, imagination. As Guido said, we didn't know it was going to happen. We hoped that maybe someday some fish would go back up to their natal spawning grounds, but the tradition had been lost because they haven't been able to go there for 100 years. So you've got 25 generations of Chinook salmon that have no idea where their ancestors came from, where their spawning, not their ancestors, but their spawning genes came from. And overnight, within a period of 3 months, they are back at the very same places that 100 years ago, the gene pool from which they came evolved. It's unbelievable. What a story. So now there is good reason to believe that if we can remove dams that are absolutely not essential and provide salmon and steelhead the opportunity to run from the ocean up these magnificent western rivers, there is the possibility that we could see salmon again begin to be productive and populations build in rivers that have long been dead. For the conservation world, this is far beyond just salmon. It goes to show how quickly nature can restore itself if it's given a chance. And there are obviously lots of dams that are not coming out, and there are lots of dams that have been built, but that which still serve real purposes. And those dams are not going to be removed. But there are hundreds and hundreds, if not more, maybe even thousands of dams that are needlessly blocking the migration of ocean-run fish. And also, we think about the dams in the Fox River, and there's been a lot of talk about those, whether they should come out or stay. And, of course, everyone who owns a boat on the Fox River doesn't want the dams to come out because they want the pools for recreation. The Western rivers are different. The Fox River is stopping a few bass, maybe, or carp from going over a dam today. The Western rivers are stopping the runs of fish that make the entire ecosystem go. So, as Guido Rauer said to me on the phone, it shows that life on our planet can recover if we give it half a chance. He said salmon, as we know, are in really bad shape. And we have to save the areas, as he calls them, strongholds, where they're still doing well. And then we now have the potential to recover some rivers where fish are still there in the lower part of the rivers, based on what we're learning here on the Klamath River. So it's really wonderful news. And I'm extremely hopeful, as are so many in the conservation world, that we will see other dams now come down and we'll begin to see the runs of adronomous fish that we haven't seen in our lifetime, that our parents didn't see, our grandparents didn't see in many cases. It's a reason to celebrate conservation. In just the few minutes I have left, I do want to say that there's on the ballot last Tuesday was this major initiative in Colorado to ban mountain lion hunting and to ban the hunting of bobcats. It was resoundingly trounced. It wasn't even close. And it should have never been on the ballot to begin with. But going back to that phrase that I use, because I think it's true, it was all about ballot box biology, where people who were anti-management, anti-hunting, anti-trapping, don't understand how wildlife works, were able to get enough signatures, sign up petitions to put on the ballot in Colorado that it would be against the law to hunt mountain lions. So if you can't hunt mountain lions, you can't manage mountain lions. If you can't manage mountain lions, you've got big time problems with mountain lion and human and wildlife interaction, and human pets are a small part of it. It's the wildlife interaction and what mountain lions uncontrolled can do to deer populations, can do to elk populations, antelope populations. And yes, also, they can wreak havoc with all kinds of pets that we consider near and dear. So it was on the ballot and led by the efforts of many people in Colorado, but certainly led by the efforts of Chris Dorsey, who's one of the foremost individuals in the country in conservation communication, host of Dorsey Pictures and so many outdoor shows you see it on television. He led with others the effort to turn back this referendum, and they won. And they won overwhelmingly. Ballot box biology in Colorado took a thumping, and hopefully we'll now return to a situation in Colorado where we have science-based management of our natural resources. Also, at the ballot box in Florida, the right to fish and hunt was enshrined into the state's constitution. It was enshrined overwhelmingly to do so. So it was, frankly, a huge win for conservation last Tuesday. I talked about the top of the show, some of the elements on a national level. But on a state-by-state level, conservation also, frankly, had a big win. So with that, I hope you all have a wonderful week in the great outdoors. Next week, I'm going to talk a bit about what's going on in Canada. There's some breaking news in Manitoba and Saskatchewan, and also how it might relate to the relations between the two countries. And it's over that subject that we all sometimes laugh about, but it's terribly important to some people. It's over the subject of duck hunting and goose hunting. And will Americans continue to be welcome north of the border? Lots of interesting things going on as we move towards the end of the year, but most importantly, hope you have a great week in the great outdoors. Thank you for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.